Good morning, Shelbyville Church. I feel it a real privilege this morning to be here. I want to thank you for the pitch-in. Not all the elders get that, so thank you. This morning, our scriptural lesson came from Matthew 20, 29 to 34. And in Matthew 20, 29 to 34, it talks about two blind men. In verse 30, it says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the road." If you look at Mark 10, 46 to 52, you get just about the same story, but it's in verse 46, it says, "Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." And then if you turn to Luke chapter 18, in verse 35, it says, "Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging." So I don't know if all three of these are about the same story or not, but they all talk about the same thing. They all have the same lesson to be learned from them. Today's message is called Ugly Religion. Who wants ugly religion? None of us. No, none of us do. It happens in business when you make products that you don't market. It happens in government when you keep departments that you don't need. It happens in medicine when your research never leaves the lab. And it happens in education when your goal is grades and not learning. And it happened on the road to Jerusalem when Jesus' disciple wouldn't let the blind men come to Christ. When Jesus and his followers were leaving Jericho, a great many people followed him. Two blind men sitting by the road heard that Jesus was going by, so they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." How many times have you cried that out? If not out loud, at least to yourself, "Lord, have mercy on us." The people warned the blind men to be quiet, but they called out even louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and said to the blind men, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they answered, "Lord, we want to see." Jesus touched their eyes, and at once they could see. And then they followed Jesus. Matthew doesn't tell us why the people refused to let the blind men get close to Christ. But it's easy to figure out. They wanted to protect him. He's on a mission, a critical mission, in fact. The future of Israel is at stake. He is an important man with a crucial task. He hasn't time for indigence on the side of the road. Besides, look at him. Dirty, loud, obnoxious, embarrassing, really. Don't they have any sense of dignity? These things must be handled in the proper order with the proper procedure. First, talk to Nathanael, who talks to John, who talks to Peter, who then decides if the matter is worth troubling the master or not. But despite their sincerity, the disciples were wrong. And so, by the way, are we when we think God is too busy for little people or too formal for poor protocol. When people refuse access to Christ by those closest to him, the result is empty, hollow religion. That's what I like to call ugly religion. A striking parallel to this happened in a San Antonio hospital. Paul Lopez took a bad fall that left him with a punctured lung, broken ribs, and internal bruises. Lying in an emergency room, barely conscious, he probably thought things couldn't get much worse. But they did. As he looked up from his hospital bed, two doctors responsible for his care began arguing over who would get to put the tube into the crushed chest. The argument became a shoving match, and one doctor threatened to have the other removed by security. "Please, somebody save my life," Lopez pleaded as doctors fought over him. The two doctors were arguing over procedure. While they were debating, two other physicians assumed responsibility for the patient and saved his life. Hard to believe, isn't it? Needs ignored while opinions are disputed. Yet it happens, even in the church today. One of the engineers at work came to me at the shop the other day, in fact it was last week, and asked me a question about Jesus. I said, "Well, you work with Holly and John, they're both Christians. Why didn't you ask them?" He said, "I did. But one says one thing and one says the other." And I thought I would just get your thoughts on it. So I hope what I told him helped. It happens today, people wanting to find the Lord, and they run into all these different opinions. It happens when a church spends more time discussing the style of its sanctuary than it does the needs of the hungry. It happens when the brightest minds in the church occupy themselves with controversy rather than with truth. It happens when a church is known more for its stance on an issue than its reliance upon God. And it happens today, and it happened back then. You see, in the eyes of those closest to Jesus, these blind men had no right to interfere with the Master. After all, he's on his way to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to establish his kingdom. And he has no time to hear the needs of some blind beggars on the side of the road. They are a nuisance, these beggars. Look at the way they dress. Look at the way that they act. And look at the way they cry out for help. Jesus has more important things to do than to be bothered by such insignificant people. Christ thought otherwise. Jesus said he felt sorry for the blind men. He touched their eyes, and at once they could see. Jesus hears them in spite of the clamor of the crowd around him. And to all the people, it is the blind who really see Christ. Something told these two beggars that God is more concerned with the right heart than he is with the right clothes or the right procedure. Somehow they knew that what they lacked in method could be made up for in motive. God always hears those who seek and call upon him. Hezekiah, king of Israel, started a religious revival in the land. He called upon the people to abandon their false gods and return to the true God. He called upon the people to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But there were two problems. One, it had been a long time since the people had partook of the Passover, and no one was ceremonially clean. No one was prepared to partake. Even the priests had been worshiping idols and have failed to observe the necessary rituals for purity. And two, God had commanded that the Passover be celebrated on the 14th day of the first month. By the time Hezekiah can assemble the people, it's the second month. So the Passover was kept a month late by impure participants. Hezekiah prayed for these people. "Lord, you are good. Please forgive all those who try to obey you, even if they did not make themselves clean as the rules of the temple command." Do you see the dilemma? What does God do when the motive is pure, but the method is poor? The Bible says the Lord listened to Hezekiah's prayer and he healed the people. The right heart with the wrong ritual is better than the wrong heart with the right ritual. Some of you are wondering if I'm saying that the method we use to approach God is immaterial. No, that's not what I'm saying. And please don't tell the pastor that's what I said. Ideally, we approach God with the right motive and the right method, and sometimes we do. Sometimes the words of our prayer are as beautiful as the motive behind the prayer. Sometimes our worship is as attractive as it is sincere. But many times it's not. Many times our words falter, our music suffers, and our worship is less than what we'd like it to be. At those times, we need to say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The blind men and Hezekiah all did the best they could with what they had, and that was enough. You will search for me, God said, and when you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. That's God's promise. Of all the people on the road that day, the two blind beggars turned out to be the ones with the clearest vision, even before they could see. It is only when the sinner feels the need of a Savior that his heart goes after the one who can help him. When Jesus walked among men, it was the sick that wanted a physician. Throngs of people who have their sight are passing to and fro, but they have no desire to see Jesus. One look of faith would touch his heart of love and bring them the blessings of his grace, but they know not the sickness and poverty of their own souls, and they feel no need of Christ. A Japanese proverb says, hearing 100 times is not as good as seeing once. How do you see Jesus?